Stalin's death led to a period of collective leadership, which ended with Nikita Khrushchev's rise to power. The new leadership arrested and executed Lavrenty Beria, head of the Soviet secret police. In 1953, Beria had been responsible for the deaths, the execution, and imprisonment of thousands, indeed hundreds of thousands of people during his notorious career as Stalin's number one henchman. Khrushchev shocked the Soviet population and the world at the 20th Party Congress in 1956 by condemning Stalin, condemning the cult of personality under Stalin, as he put it. And Khrushchev also openly acknowledged, quote, the crimes of the Stalin era, close quote. This was a real watershed in Soviet history. A man who had purged all sorts of people for far less than Khrushchev's statements had now been criticized in public. This seemed to portend a new era in Soviet domestic life. By 1958, Khrushchev had become not only party secretary, but head of the Soviet government as well. He would dominate Soviet political life until 1964. The initial hope that Khrushchev's rule in Russia would lead to a softening of the contours of Russian repression proved to be unfounded. After an initial loosening, opening of the prisons, a sense of the possibility of free expression, once again, the repression of the regime descended upon the population. His failures in agriculture and foreign policy problems and general economic troubles would lead to his downfall. The Soviet Union, throughout the mid to late 50s, would suffer from a whole series of agricultural problems. It was one of the great ironies of Russian life that this country with enormous potential to produce grain, indeed produced an enormous amount of grain, couldn't both produce and distribute it in an efficient fashion. The Soviet Union was forced to import grain from abroad, actually from the United States, which was a source of great embarrassment to the Soviet regime. Even the great achievement of Sputnik, the first artificial satellite launched in 1957, which sent shockwaves throughout Europe and the world. The Soviet Union had taken a dramatic step. It was no longer in technological leadership, it appeared. The Soviet Union was no longer backward, trailing behind the United States, the other superpower. Even this great achievement of Soviet science and Soviet military prowess was unable to save Khrushchev. His confrontation with the American President Kennedy, the Cuban Missile Crisis, in the end weakened his position. It appeared, at least to the international community, as if Khrushchev had backed down. We know more now that a deal had in fact been struck. And Khrushchev simply was not able to sustain a economic program that would turn Russian economic development around. One of the most remarkable aspects of Khrushchev's rule in the Soviet Union was the way in which he left power. Khrushchev would fall from power, as I said, in 1964. He would retire from politics, living quietly in Moscow until his death in 1971. A radical departure from the fate of those purged during the Stalinist era. It appeared at the end of the Khrushchev period that the Soviet Union had become stabilized, its procedures routinized, that a change at the head of the Soviet regime would not necessarily lead to a tidal wave of purges, to internal instability, or, in the worst case scenario, also foreign adventurism. After Khrushchev's departure, collective leadership once again briefly prevailed as Leonid Brezhnev, as party secretary, and Alexei Kosygin, the premier, shared political power, though it became obvious relatively quickly that the dominant figure in the new Soviet leadership was Leonid Brezhnev.